Welcome back to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. My name is Wayne Kimmel, managing partner of 76 Capital, the sports tech venture capital company. And on this show, I interview top sports entrepreneurs, athletes, and executives who are shaping and many times changing the sports business industry. And today I have a special guest. I have my good friend, Alon Kremer, who is the CEO of Hapoel Jerusalem Basketball Club. And Alon, it's so awesome to have you on this show. Alon grew up in Israel. He served in the Israeli Navy. He attended the Technion in Israel. He then went to Harvard Business School. Then he became the director of sports betting analytics at Caesars. And that's when we met, when he was living in Las Vegas. He was doing incredible things there. He moved to New York to work for the NFL, where he was doing ticketing analytics there. And now he's back in Israel, and he's the CEO of Hapoel Jerusalem Basketball Club. Alon, welcome to our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Thank you so much, Wayne. I'm so excited and happy to see you. Next time, I hope we can do it in person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. I mean, it's been an absolute whirlwind in so many different ways since you've become the CEO of the basketball club for the, as you said, for the last like 3 months now. You know, you become the CEO, the season starts, there's one game, and then a war breaks out, and it's crazy. You know, Hamas attacks Israel, this terrible terrorist attacks. And, you know, of course, you know, first I want to wish you and your family the best, and hopefully everyone's okay. But man, it's really, I guess your job has changed a lot.
Wow, it's been a roller coaster for sure. You know, when I joined the Hapoel Jerusalem as the CEO 3 months ago, we were about a month and a half before the season opener. So you can imagine joining at such a crucial phase during the preseason, it's been hectic for me because I made a big move, a big jump from the NFL to becoming the CEO for the first time for me. So I had a lot to learn, you know, meeting all the stakeholders from the fans to security to the league office to sponsorship. Insane. But after a month and a half, so like you said, October 6th, that's when the league started. There was one game of two other teams. We haven't started playing. I was on edge because our home opener was supposed to be the next day, and suddenly the war breaks out. And not to mention the mental load from seeing what happened, but also suddenly my role became completely different. The next 2 months for me were to now learn the position, the role during the war, which completely changed everything. So this is my dream job, but definitely not the welcome I expected coming back to Israel.
I mean, it must be such a incredible responsibility. I mean, you're the CEO of one of the top basketball clubs in the country. You have thousands of fans, that love the team. You have season ticket holders, you have executives, as you said, you have players, coaches. You know, how have you dealt with everything that's been happening? And then you play in all these different leagues all over Europe. How does it all work?
So, you know, here in Israel, we have a lot of non-Israeli, mostly American players coming to play here. And you know, most Israelis, they grew up in Israel, so they're more resilient or more familiar with these type of situations. I mean, October 7th was completely different, on a completely different level. But the foreign players, including the coach, you know, they're not used to it. And they were afraid, and of course, their families were concerned. So the first thing we did the same day was get them on a plane, and we sent them to Greece, just so they feel safe. And then, you know, you need to start thinking about all the other stakeholders. Like you said, you have the Israeli players, the local players, you have your fans. And Hapoel Jerusalem is known for being a steward of the community. And suddenly you hear about, you know, fans who were murdered, fans who were kidnapped. And you understand that, you know, with your responsibility, with your power, you also have the responsibility. And even though I'm new to the club personally, as an avid basketball fan, I know that, you know, the fans are always there to cheer and support the team. And you know, now this is the time for the club, for the team, to stand and support the fans and hug them and do everything in your power to support them.
So I know that you've done some really amazing things for the fans in the arena. Tell us about some of the things that you've done. I mean, it's been really inspiring.
So first of all, on the more personal level, you're trying to touch and help those families who were impacted. So, you know, in Judaism, for the audience who is not familiar, you have after the funeral, you have the Shiva, basically 7 days of mourning. So you make sure that you go to every funeral, every Shiva, you know, you come to hug the families, because we all know that nothing you can say is going to help. So just giving them a big hug. But as I mentioned, there were over 240 hostages held in Gaza. And two of those 240 were notable fans of Apollo Jerusalem, Hirsch, Pauline Goldberg, and Ophir Engel, which luckily, fortunately, is back home by now, but Hirsch is still in captive. So what we did, knowing that the season was postponed, we basically asked hundreds of volunteers to come to the arena. We have more than 11,000 seats in the Jerusalem arena, and we printed the photos of every hostage, and we made a few copies, and the volunteers put the faces, the posters of the different hostages on the seats. And it gave the arena this eerie yet very impactful vibe that all the hostages are now inside the arena. And what we also did, we did it the same night that our team had a game, an away game in Greece, in Saloniki, as part of the European competition we were playing. And we can talk about that part after. So what we did, we used the Jumbotron and we broadcasted that game live in the arena. The home front office command of the IDF allowed us to host up to 1,000 fans due to the security reason and safety in case there is a missile. So we invited 1,000 of our fans, and together with the 11,000 photos of the hostages, we all watched the game together. And it was so moving and touching because we used our stage to call governments, to call the world, to call Hamas to bring the hostages back home now.
Amazing, really amazing. I mean, and how has it been, you know, for you said, you know, your coach is not from Israel. A lot of the players are not from Israel. And you immediately sent everyone, you know, to safety, basically to Greece, right? So they can continue to practice and continue to play. So what has it been like where you're, you know, home in Israel, in Jerusalem, and the team has been on the road basically since then?
You know, it was very difficult. It was very challenging. First of all, you know, like you mentioned, the hardship of being in Israel, hearing the news, hearing about friends and family who were impacted, definitely not easy. But also for the foreign players, the coach, you know, for them, even though they were in a safe place, they had a lot of uncertainty around them. They didn't know, are we staying here? Are we coming back to Israel? Are we going back home to the US? And, you know, even though they were like in a safe place, they still had this mental distress. And we were, as management, we were trying to support them, but we didn't really have answers for them. So you live day by day trying to figure out this hard dynamic situation. So eventually, after a couple of weeks in Greece, our coach is originally from Serbia. We also have the one of the assistant coaches also from Serbia. So they told us, listen, we have our connections, our home, facilities in Serbia. Let's move the entire team to Belgrade. Now, I want to elaborate on what you mentioned about the different competitions Hapoel Jerusalem is playing. We have the Israeli local league, but also we are part of the BCL, the Basketball Champion League in Europe. And that's where we play against teams from all over the continent. And the BCL management leadership told us, you know, we really can't wait for you forever. They were kind enough and very fair to postpone the first couple of games. But also we knew that in order to keep our special team together, because the coach and the players and all the staff are really working great together. And we built a team to win titles this season. And we didn't want to ruin and give that up. So we said, okay, you know what? We need to keep some sort of routine and keep the players in shape. So we started playing our games in the European competition, but we couldn't host any games in Jerusalem. So again, with the help of the BCL leadership, we set our new home away from home, in Belgrade. And we announced, you know, at least for the first few games, the first group stage of the BCL, we're going to host our games behind closed doors in Belgrade. And that's where we're going to practice. That's where we're going to play our games. So the first few, and by the way, it works great because so far after four games, we're up 3-1. And we are head to head with Saloniki on the number one seed towards the next round. But obviously, you know, it's not easy for the players, even the Israeli players, to be away from home, because even for them, you know, even though they're in a safe place, their families, their friends are back in Israel. And let me tell you, even from a logistics perspective, to host a home game away from home in a different country, a different language, for the club staff, the front office staff, it was a huge project. We had to make sure, you know, from all the big things, like obviously security, police, medical stuff, all the way to the small details, like you need to brand the floor, you need to have your sponsors' logos on the LED screens. You even need to bring food and drinks for the referees at halftime. There's so many things you need to think and take care of, and it's just insane. And just to remind you, the game in Belgrade was my first home game. So I didn't even get to experience what's a home game in Jerusalem, you know, with all the staff backing me up. That was just me and a couple of other guys who were able to leave Israel for a few days to go and set this whole show game. So we would eventually win the first home game with keeping in mind that we know that all our fans in Israel who are now in big distress get to enjoy a few moments of comfort watching their beloved team playing and competing in the European competition.
Wow. I mean, so you go over there. How did you do the broadcasting of the game? How did you handle that piece?
So given that it was my first game, and given the complex situation, like I said, what we did, first of all, the BCL leadership were super helpful. So whenever they could help, including specifically the broadcasting, they said, you know, Alon, don't worry. We will help you. We'll send someone to manage that. But also, we basically hired a local Serbian production company, the same company that basically is producing the local teams, the local basketball teams games in Serbia. So you have big clubs over there. You have Red Star, you have Partizan Belgrade. So these guys know what they're doing, and they were so welcoming, and they accommodated every need we had, and it was great. think it was like a miracle, you know, from planning from A to Z, being here in Israel and starting to think, what's the checklist? What are the things I need to take care of? And then seeing everything comes to life. And suddenly the court in Belgrade suddenly looks like the court in Jerusalem, except for the fans.
Right. The hosts. Yeah, I mean, I always say to people that you have to go to an Israeli basketball game and see what the traditional experience is like. I use this example. See if you agree with me. Is on a normal times, let's say, is that going to an Israeli basketball game is like half going to a European soccer game and the other half is an American college basketball game. It's like all mixed together with cheering and chants and singing, and it's unbelievable.
The atmosphere is just electrifying. It's almost as if the show is in the stands and not in the on the court. I mean, I've been in the U.S. for 9 years. I saw how passionate NFL fans are towards their team. People in New York come 4 hours before the game when it's snowing and they tailgate outside MetLife Stadium. And no doubt, sports fans are avid in every country. But as you said, come to Israel, experience a Hapoel Jerusalem basketball game. It's an experience you would never forget. It's so crazy. It's so electrifying. You have thousands of fans on their feet for the entire game. Everyone knows every word of the song. They're chanting together. You have drums. You have the flags. I can't wait to see a real first home game.
Well, we certainly hope that happens very soon. You know, you have, so we talked a little bit in the opening of the show about your, you know, fascinating journey on your way to being the CEO now of Hapoel Jerusalem. And, you know, it's been an amazing journey. And it also is kind of really interesting in the fact that the club is now owned by Matan Adelson. And I'd love to hear how you got connected to him and then what recently just happened that's made it even more interesting for you as the CEO of the club.
So personally, you know, as you mentioned, I started in the Navy, the Technion. I was a software engineer to begin with, working for Intel. But I always had a passion for sports. I was an avid sports fan. I was a season ticket holder for decades. And once I was fortunate to get into Harvard Business School, that's when I told myself, Alon, you need to take a chance. Do what makes you happy, what makes other people happy. And I decided to focus on that career. And my brother told me that 7 years ago, when I graduated from HBS, he asked me, so what's your goal for life? And I told him, my goal in 10 years is to lead a professional sports organization. And it's been seven, so I'm doing good.
You're doing great. You're doing great. That's amazing that's something that Avi said to you. I mean, it's amazing. Wow.
And I was in New York, and the last summer, around June, it was right after Matan Adelson acquired the Hapoel Jerusalem. He's also an avid sports fan. And he was looking to bring a new CEO to the club, someone with this Western American mentality who would be willing to go and run the club in Israel. And mutual friends thought that we would be a good match. And we haven't met before, even though I spent almost 3.5 years in Vegas. I was at Caesars. Matan's family obviously owns the Las Vegas Sands. So he forgave me for working for his competition. But we've met, and we quickly understood that we share the same vision of taking Hapoel Jerusalem, the only professional basketball club in Jerusalem, which is the holy city for the three religions. You know, everyone around the world knows Jerusalem. It has so much potential to become the face of Israeli basketball, to become a top European club. And we have a great arena, which is relatively new. It's the biggest domed arena in Israel. And we made a plan. Where do we see Hapoel Jerusalem 5 years from now? And I think they say that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. I've been preparing for this role for the past 7 years, going to Harvard Business School. I was focusing on creative industries, on entertainment, on sports. I did my summer internship with the Kraft family at the New England Revolution. Then I went to Vegas to work also in entertainment, and then obviously the NFL. Even though I graduated my MBA, I never stopped learning and studying from the best managers and executives in the business. The NFL is such an amazing league, and I believe that in addition to working and making an impact, I was also observing and learning what can I copy over and bring back with me to Israel so I can take my team, my club, to those levels of top American sports organizations. And the working with Matan has been really great. We think alike, we share the same aspirations, and we're trying to instill new ways, best practices of working in Israel. Actually, we just opened 7 new positions at Hapoel Jerusalem. We mean business. We're going to take this club to the next level. But something very interesting happened a week ago. I wasn't in the weeds, but turns out that Matan's family, the Edelsons, also acquired the Dallas Mavericks from the NBA. And, obviously it was big, crazy news, but also wonderful and fabulous news. At least this is the way I view it, because now suddenly there is a top NBA club that is, you can say, almost at our disposal, mostly in terms of knowledge sharing. And I can already tell you that 2 days after the announcement, Matan and I were already meeting with the senior director of sponsorship at the Mavs. And I was basically, hey, now we're co-workers. Let me ask you a bunch of questions, how we can do sponsorship better here in Jerusalem. Not to mention any marketing initiatives, maybe even having a preseason game between Jerusalem and the Mavs. But mostly it's the limitless opportunities to collaborate and learn from the Mavs right now that can help Jerusalem to become that face of Israeli basketball, as I mentioned.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, the opportunities are incredible. Obviously, there's so much to get through right now, and hopefully, that Israel takes care of Hamas and allows us to kind of get back to a more of a normal life, to be able to have, to take advantage of all these incredible opportunities that are literally right in front of you. And it's incredible that you have that. And now with having partners like the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban, I mean, it must be amazing for you to think about what's next for your basketball club.
I have to say, it might not sound great, but with all the challenges and the very hard time that the country, the fans of Jerusalem and the club and me personally are going through, I honestly truly enjoy and feel satisfaction from my position. I feel like we are really creating something amazing here. And, they say when you love what you do, it's not work. And I'm very privileged and honored and humble to be in a position where I can touch an impact, make an impact on so many people, and even in the darkest moments of their lives, you know, it's amazing how you can bring a small ray of light and some comfort into the families. You know, it's not easy for me, because for me it's also an emotional roller coaster. You know, I was telling you about our first win in Belgrade after that hard work of setting up the game, and I was so excited after we won in overtime, by the way. But the next day I came back to Israel and I had to go straight to one of our fans' funerals. So it's this insane roller coaster of emotions, but you know that you, I know that I have the power to make an impact on people's lives. And, you know, for me, it means everything. This is why I'm so, you know, I'm pushing forward and I'm working constantly to keep making Hapoel better, not only for the success of the club, but also to make our fans and community happy eventually.
You know, it seems like maybe you, it's like you, your parents made you and your brother the fighters that you are from the beginning. I mean, and also the people that can really lead and inspire people. I mean, I'd love to touch on a little bit of your brother's fight. I mean, and the fact that he, I just love that he had that really asked you that question, like, what do you really want to go do, and how he's really helped you. But it's amazing what he's gone through personally. I hope you could share that, but also now what he's doing to truly inspire people to continue to fight, continue to move forward, and just make things happen in life.
So I'm the youngest of three. I have an older brother, Avi, who is 10 years older than me. And we have another sister, Tali, who's 6 years older than me. Avi has been my role model in life since an early age. Even despite the age difference, he was the reason why I fell in love with sports, basketball. He used to wake me up to watch Michael Jordan plays in the playoffs back in the 90s. And Avi is a brilliant, amazing person. He also went to the Technion. He was also, before that, he was a captain in the IDF. And for some reason, Avi, as a normal guy in Israel, decides to apply to Harvard Business School. And he got admitted. And I was 19. I was still in the Navy back then. I thought, Harvard, that's the place I always saw only on the movies. It's so far away. But he is so motivated, and he's so strong, and he just achieves whatever he sets his mind on. Unfortunately, being at the peak of his life in his first semester in Boston, unfortunately, he felt like his arm is getting weaker, and he was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. But obviously, doctors told him, you have 3 years to live, make a will. He decided to stay in Boston and graduate. His dream was to walk the stage at commencement, and he did. I was there right after I finished my military service in the Navy. I flew directly to Boston to support him, getting dressed, eating, doing some exercises. And when I was there, I saw how the Harvard community supported Avi and allowed him to move mountains. Because while Avi's classmates went on to working in tech on consulting companies, Avi decided to fight ALS. He was diagnosed 19 years ago. He beat the odds, like he's kicking ass. And during that time, in those 19 years, Avi founded a nonprofit to raise funds for ALS research. He While he is quadriplegic, unable to speak, only communicates through his eyes, he was able to raise more than $10 million himself for ALS research. He later on went on, he merged his nonprofit with the bigger ALS Association, and now he keeps working in fundraising for the ALS Association. But another amazing thing he did was his biggest regret. I remind you, he was 29 when he was diagnosed. He never got married, never had children. And that was his biggest regret. And 7 years ago, again, while being sick, paralyzed in a wheelchair, he met this woman from Israel who is a healthy woman. She was a single parent. She already had one child and she wanted to have another child. And they met. At the beginning, they were talking about mutual parenthood, but as they kept meeting and talking to each other and thinking seriously about this amazing process of bringing a child together, they fell in love. They decided to get married. They moved next door to each other because my brother has three caregivers living with him. And now I have a seven-year-old niece. Her name is Ella, beautiful Ella. And Avi, yet again, did it again, conquered another peak. And now he's a father and he's married to a beautiful family. And, you know, Avi is so optimistic and he has reasons, so many reasons to live. His family, and now he's so happy that I'm back in Israel, because now, you know, Avi is, like I mentioned, he's a role model for me. He's so smart. And I always say about him that I didn't grow up in his shadow. I grew up in his aura, in his glow. And he inspires me, and I keep asking for advice. You know, what do you say? Should I make this decision or that decision? So in a way, he's also enjoying being part-time CEO of Apollo Jerusalem in a way. And he enjoys, you know, the reactions and the stories in the media and the news. He shares it with his friends and he gets the reaction. And he watches the games, obviously. So I'm thankful and grateful for every day I have Avi with me. And I really hope that, you know, more funds would be directed towards ALS research so Avi can stay with us until 120.
That would be amazing. And now you're going to kind of, again, continue to follow in his footsteps from a family perspective, right? That's you made some interesting personal moves as well.
Yeah. You can say that all stars aligned for me. You're right. Not only that I followed my brother's footsteps all along, another amazing thing that happened to me was that in my last year in New York, I met this Israeli girl from Israel. It was, you know, these days everything is on the apps, on Instagram. And her name is Hadar, and she's a med school student, and she's about to graduate and get her MD next year. And after a long distance where I came to Israel, she came to New York, we had an amazing time. She came to the Super Bowl with me, and part of my decision to go back to Israel was so we can finally move in together and stop this long distance. And right before I left New York, I proposed to her in Central Park, and we're going to get married and talking about children after she graduates. We're not in a rush, but no doubt, family. I know how much family is important, even more than career and the job. Family will be there with you at all times.
Well, Alon, it has been absolutely amazing having you on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. You are a true leader. Your brother's a true leader. You know, it's amazing to hear all the things that you've had to deal with in the last 3 months now of being the CEO of Hapoel Jerusalem Basketball Club, the excitement for the future, the potential partnership, or now I guess true partnership with the Dallas Mavericks, and all the things that will be happening across all the different leagues that you play in, from the, as you listed, the Euro League, the BCL League, the Israeli League, the State Club, the State Cup championships. I mean, all the things that you're gonna be part of. And we certainly wish you a ton of luck, and want to have you come back on the show. You know, hopefully as champion of all the different things that you're involved with.
For sure, I can't wait to hold that trophy above my head, and you know, Wayne, I want to personally thank you. You've been a great friend. You know, part of my learning experience was thanks to you as well, and I can't wait to see you and everyone who's watching this. Please come to Israel, visit after things are more calm down and safe, and hit me up. I'll get you to come to a Hapoel Jerusalem game and some hummus and falafel. It will be fun.
Well, I'll definitely take you up on that. Absolutely. It's been an incredible pleasure to have you on the show. Alon Kremer, CEO of Hapoel Jerusalem Basketball Club, thank you so much. And stay safe. Good luck. Win a lot of games.
Thank you so much.